Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine, our final one of the week. We've got a great one to wrap up with, too. We're talking with Mike Hittner from the Historic Point Boss about holidays. Mike, good to see you.
Yeah, same here, James, and everyone in Radioland.
Appreciate the time, as always. I do want to start the interview wishing a happy birthday this weekend to Katrina. Yes. Wishing her a great one. Got to get that in there.
Just back from India, in fact.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. That's fun. Looking forward to talking with her about that. Looking forward to talking with you about holidays. I always like to treat these things to new listeners, to people that may not be familiar with the event. Mike, can we tell people what Heritage Holidays is?
Well, it came up probably about 15 years ago, and what we try to do is recreate a Christmas that was more appropriate to that era. Now, a lot of people, because of what we're used to as for Christmas in our today's world, are a little jaded by it because, you know, they didn't celebrate a lot in those days. They did a little bit, a little decorating. In the school, you'll see a Christmas tree and some ornaments and that sort of thing, because that's from the era of 1925, but the house and that sort of thing, you see some bunting and a few things like that in the cabin, but you won't see much like we consider Christmas today. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, it's kind of a step back in the process. And I should explain to everyone, too, and to you, James, that we combined with Nakusa's Hometown Christmas, mm-hmm. which is new for us. And it's not new in a sense. What we did this years ago with the Port Edwards Lions with their fishery, which they have on the last Sunday of January, we combined with them with our ice cutting. Mm-hmm. And so this was kind of a natural thing like that. We thought, well, since Nakusa's doing all this sort of thing, let's add a little ambiance to what they do and join them on that. So we talked to the new group called For Nakusa, Heather mm-hmm. Sayers, and a bunch of people down there, and the ladies there. I went to one of the meetings, and I tell you, those gals get it done. Mm-hmm. 1 hour meeting, and they had it all done. They weren't sitting around talking for 3 hours or something like that. I give them a lot of credit.
We got to work with Heather for a while here, and that is Heather. She is going to get stuff done. Right. I love the work that she's doing and what she's doing for the Nakusa area. Yeah. I love the combining of these things.
Right.
We've talked on air, off air about the combination with the fishery, and now for this, it seems like such a natural, organic fit. Did they reach out to you guys? Did you reach out to them?
We reached out to them. We had done our winter feast mm-hmm. at the Nakusa Community Center in last February, and I talked and we talked with Heather a little bit about, well, what would they think about if we wanted to put it on the same date, and she was all for it, and so she had to just go back and talk to her group and see what they thought, but they thought it was a great idea, and it kind of completes it because their day starts kind of early, goes from 9 to 3. They've got story time and cake and cookie decorating at the Nakusa Library. They have an open house at the Nakusa Fire Station. They got Christmas coffee and cookie and bake sale at the church in town. And then that kind of goes from 9 to 3, and we go from 1 to 5. And then, of course, at 5:15, they have their great parade down, mm-hmm. their Christmas parade, and then fireworks immediately following that. So it was kind of made a complete day for there. There was no lapse in between there. It went straight through. So we thought it was a nice organic move to combine them. They thought so, too. And so we're looking forward to it. Our first Nakusa hometown, of course, we're town of Saratoga, but we're right across the river from them. And it was kind of a natural thing.
And it benefits everybody. Everybody gets benefited from something like this, the combination of it.
I think that we draw kind of different people for different things, but a lot of people might that come to our event might say, well, let's go a little early and go mm-hmm. to the bake sale or go to, you know, tour the fire station or something like that, and people that go to their events say, hey, we're just starting today, mm-hmm. and we went and we did cookie decorating at the library. Now let's go over to Point Bass and see what they got going on. So it's kind of a, like I say, an organic.
Yeah, a rising tide raises all boats. It's good for everybody, this one. You know, Mike, one of the things that I am very thankful for that my parents gave me was perspective. It goes a long way, and there's never been a day in my life that it doesn't seem to come up or help in benefit. And I did this with my children, too, and it seems to have really benefited them as well. I think one of the things that we get from the Historic Point Boss, while also living history, learning history, taking some pride in it, is some perspective. Mm-hmm. And I really do encourage kids or parents of this event to bring kids to this event. Whether you are a family that has a lot or a family that has a little, when you look at the way it was back then, you have a little perspective about it. All of a sudden, your Christmas seems a lot better one way, either way.
Right, right. I think that in today's world, especially as we get, you know, Christmas really starts the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, with the music, some stations play mm-hmm. music for the whole month and that sort of thing. But you notice also when Christmas is over, the music is done, even if it doesn't last to New Year's or anything. So this is kind of try to give them a bigger perspective of mm-hmm. what it's really about, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And how it was for the trailblazers, the people that paved the way for us and everything. I think it's fascinating to that when you look at the way it was celebrated, and there's parallels, and then there's so much that is so different, and how it really was centered on the essence of what Christmas was.
Right, and I think and when Tom has been here different times with us from the cabin, trader's cabin, we got that perspective that these different traders, even though they were competing companies, would get together for like the holidays because that was a special day. And, you know, and we even hear that in the Civil War, you know, when there'd be a truce call or something, people would go back and forth across the lines, and they probably maybe meeting with their brother or somebody they know, or if they don't know, they're trading maybe cigarettes or candy or food mm-hmm. or something like that, because, you know, in the end of it, we're all just people.
Yeah. And with an event like this, we get kind of back to that a little bit. We get some of that feeling from it. Some of the things that people will experience coming down and checking this out, you're going to see people putting up decorations, things like that.
Yeah, in the school, the kids will be doing a drawing and doing coloring ornaments and that sort of thing and hanging them on a tree. We'll have a scraggly white pine in the schoolhouse, not to look like a modern day tree. Full like we normally think of them, but they'll be doing that and they'll have some treats there. They'll go to the house and they're baking some molasses cookies, and they'll have some craft for the children in the house. And the cabin, Tom has got, I think, a game hen or something he's doing on a. It's a little different, and it'd be kind of nice for people to check it out. It's a mm-hmm. reflector oven, and it works in the fireplace, but it works off a reflector, kind of like a mirror sort of thing, where it cooks it by reflector. And it was something that was period, and we purchased one about 3 or 4 years ago, and Tom has been using it in the cabin for that type of purpose, just to show people whether it's a ham or if it's a game hen or something like that. And he's going to be cooking some of that in the cabin, just so it's kind of fun just to see that. We also have a new person in the cabin, and she's portraying a Native American, and so she's really looking forward to it, and it adds a little perspective. I mean, we can't interpret Native Americans per se, but we can kind of portray what they did and how they did it.
Yeah, yeah, an integral part of the history as well, and a great part to incorporate. That's a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. There's also the focus on the types of foods that were around at that time as well.
Right. Yeah, and they, you know, like I say, they're making molasses cookies, and they'll be making some soup or whatever, or having some hot apple cider in the house. We also have a couple new things. We're going to have a big bonfire outside to warm people in the parking area. And also, we're going to have guided tours and walking tours of our trails. Now, we got, for people that don't know, we got about a 3-mile system of trails there, both north and south of Wakely Road. And so we encourage people to come out, whether it's during this time of year or for winter activities, you know, cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, to come out and enjoy those trails. They're not very far from Wisconsin Rapids, but there's about a 3-mile extensive trail that goes along the river through the woods and, you know, very beautifully laid out. So I think it'll be a good opportunity for people if they want to come out and get a little exercise, maybe eat a few cookies and take mm-hmm. care of those calories on the trail. That's a good time to do so. That's kind of a new perspective we've added to it, too.
Yeah. Mike, when you first started learning more and more about the kind of history of these holidays and how they used to be celebrated and everything, was there anything that stood out to you like, oh, this is the biggest difference between Christmas then and Christmas now? Is were there some things that stood out to you?
I think it was mostly like we had talked before, James, that people relished times of getting together with mm-hmm. other people, whether they were relatives or family or friends, and it was that time to kind of step back and just enjoy your time. And because we don't realize and appreciate how much just work it took just to live in those days. Mm-hmm. I mean, between chopping firewood and breaking ice so the animals could drink the water in the winter and all these other things. They didn't have heaters and all this sort of thing. That just to exist, it took a lot of effort. And so this was a time to kind of step back and enjoy life a little bit separated from that for just a day or so.
I'm such a history nerd that I at least once a week catch myself going down a rabbit hole of learning about something. Yes. And almost every time I get to the end of it and kind of just marvel at how we're still here.
Right.
You know, that human beings are even still here. Like it's just, it's a marvel. And I can't help but be thankful to the people that made it so that we can still be here.
Yeah. It's always, you know, we have talked previously about it. You know, those people will come down and say, they'll really like what we're doing down there and say, oh, I wish I was living that time. I say, well, I don't know. I know I like a shower every once in a while, and I like some heat. I do have a fireplace at home, and we do burn wood occasionally, but I'm not relying on it. Mm-hmm. So all those things, you know, we've been having and enjoying some beautiful weather up till today. Now it's getting back to normal, but I mean, now they're looking at what Thanksgiving, maybe high of 23 or something.
Right,
we're back into the regular mode of winter now. We're done with our autumn and that sort of thing. So
I think we even, you know, looking at something like this and putting myself in the shoes of these people and stuff. Just even thinking, you said about getting together, it immediately made me think of like how, you know, almost every holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever it is, we tend to travel to visit family. And let's be honest, sometimes we gripe a little bit about it, like, oh, I got to go 3 hours this way or whatever. I mean, imagine then. Like, it was a day to get to somewhere or something like that. And, that perspective.
We kind of take it for granted because now we live in either smaller communities or cities. And maybe we got to go
roads.
Across town or something like that. Where they had to travel, even if it was only, you know, 5 miles or 10 miles, say somebody from Grand Rapids or Centralia that went to Point Boss in those days, it'd take the better part of a day to get there.
Yeah.
And not comfortably either. Mm. I mean, probably if they'd had snow, they'd had a horse-drawn sleigh, and then maybe have some hot coals or something they could put around their feet, and maybe a lap robe or something like that. But, I mean, this is going to be in all the elements of the weather. So, like, when people come out, we always say, you know, we're going to be there, and we don't necessarily always have fire in all the buildings, but the ones that have fire and stoves and everything will be heated. But the other places aren't heated, and that's kind of how people lived in those days. And blacksmith doesn't have to worry because he creates enough heat of his own, so he's probably warm. But the rest of the people that are working in the three-bay shed or the barn or someplace like that, they got to make their own heat, really, by body heat, by doing things. So
we're speaking with Mike Hintner from the Stork Point Boss, talking about their Heritage Holidays coming up on December 2nd, Saturday, December 2nd, 1 to 5. And Mike, I always love looking at the pictures and the website, the Facebook pages. I've been to all of these events myself. And one of my favorite parts is not only the event itself, but running into people that I don't see all the time, or especially seeing families together and little kids in that. This is really an event for everybody.
Right. We see a lot of the extended family situation where grandma and grandpa are with the grandkids, or it could be two or three generations together, and the children saying, well, I've been down here with the school group, and I know how that corn grinder works or whatever.
That's awesome.
And showing grandma and grandpa that, you know, and those kids, you know, we've talked about it before. At school groups come through, and we think, well, do these kids get anything out of this? Because they're kind of glazed over a little bit.
Yeah.
And you wonder, are they getting it? But whether it's osmosis or what it is, it doesn't matter. They're picking it up anyway because it's so unique to them that I think it makes an indelible impression on them.
It does remind me to remind you out there, if you're a school group, if you're a teacher, if you're a principal, somebody like that listening, make sure to reach out to Mike and the gang at Historic Point Boss.
We're lining up people for a spring tour. In fact, I think our last one was on November 2nd or 3rd of this year. And next spring, of course, we're already taking reservations for that. And so we encourage the teachers and maybe parents out there that know about us, homeschool groups, to come on out. We generally have schools coming from about a 50-mile radius, and they spend the whole day there and enjoy a great time. A lot of people in the past have gone because maybe we weren't there or they didn't know about us. They went to Heritage Hill in Green Bay or some other place. Well, you spend 2 hours on the road coming and going. So 4 hours of the time you're sitting in a bus, this time can be spent at the site and doing something and learning something. And I think that's the important thing about it.
And locals getting to take some local pride and learn about their own neck of the woods. Yeah. It's pretty cool to be able to
do. We have a tendency of looking at history in the United States of being Philadelphia or Washington, D.C.
Right.
or Boston or something. But history is made everywhere, and it's made in our backyard, like you said. And Point Boss, the Wakelys were the first white settlers to stay year-round. The other people, maybe the workers, came in and left, you know, seasonally, but the Wakelys stayed here. So the first ones to stay here, actually, and came in June 2nd of 1837. So what are we going, about 185 years or so, something like that.
Wow. Just incredible to think of. Yeah. and it's even more incredible, I think, when you look at like the scheme of time as a whole and how little separates us from this moment. Like that it was, in the scheme of time, it really wasn't that long ago,
right.
You know, when you compare it with then to now.
Right.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we were just, my wife and I were just on a tour of Turkey and spent 23 days in Turkey and going through places like Ephesus and Patmos, which were Roman cities during the era when St. Paul was going through. And you hear about the epistles from Ephesus and everything. And he talked at the theaters there where they held 35,000 people and going through that. And that's ancient history, but we have ancient history here. We just don't know it because of the native populations didn't have a written language or any way of recording it. Most of the, other than a few mounds and few things like that, there's not a lot of standing things. The more modern history of 1837 for the Wakelys and others, Daniel Whitney maybe as early as 1830 being in the area, that's our kind of a modern white history, we want to call
it,
probably.
Yeah, I think well said.
European history.
Yeah, yeah. It is really interesting, and I'm so darn jealous of you guys getting overseas and all that and checking out these other countries, because as history nerds like we are and everything, there's American history, but really America's kind of a teenager compared to China or Russia or India or some of these countries that have been around or we have the history, the data for so long.
Right.
Just wild to think of it and to interesting to learn
well,
about.
Well, it makes the world much bigger
than
what you think it is. I mean, you can read it in a book, but when you see it and touch it and feel it and walk on the same places where people have walked for thousands of years in those places like Ephesus and everything, it's marble and it's worn down. You can see where the wagons went through and they made two ruts through there. You can imagine how long it took to wear that marble down, thousands of years, sort of thing.
When I was out in California, I my buddy took me over to the fault lines and I got in trouble, but I walked over some of them and got into some of that. And it just, you almost feel the history just even being in that area. It's just a crazy thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to
see.
Well,
especially in California, we always enjoyed the redwoods, you know, and it's like being in a cathedral, outside cathedral, because it's just majestic. And if you're not spiritual, I think when you see the redwoods and you walk in the redwoods and you spend some time there, you feel spiritual after a while.
Yes, you're so well said. Yes, all right. Mike, one of the things that I appreciate so much about what you guys do, keeping history alive over there at Historic Point Boss, is not just doing that, but welcoming everybody and making it accessible to everybody. While everything seems to be rising, the prices of everything, you guys keep your prices the same. We've been doing this interview for about 7 years now, and I don't think your prices have ever changed.
No, we try to keep them very reasonable because we understand not all families can afford something, and so we want to make it so they can come out for a family of four for maybe $10 or $12 or less and that sort of thing. So it's eminently affordable because we want this history to be available to people and not be restricted because of cost or price or something like that. And so we've always tried to maintain as low a price as we can just to kind of cover expenses and sort of thing.
Really do appreciate that, but we also want to help you be able to continue to do that. And the way we can is by helping out, whether it's volunteering or donations. But one of the things that I actually have heard from a listener before, and this was a while back, they didn't know how to donate because they felt awkward asking. And I think that comes back to our Midwestern mentality and who we are as people. And I love that about our people. I like that. But we get awkward about money. We get awkward talking about money, and that's just how it is. But we do want to encourage people, if you are able to, donations are welcome over at the Historic Point Boss, and it helps them keep history alive.
Yeah, we have some donation boxes out, you know, besides admission. If somebody wanted to put in a few extra dollars, that's appreciated. I think on our website, I think now they're taking money for via PayPal or something like that, that they can do, you know, 21st century sort of donation.
Yes.
We've had a lot of people in the last probably 10 years that have put us in their will. Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of gross and grotesque and that sort of thing. But some people sometimes when they're looking, you know, and maybe they don't have a lot of relatives and they're thinking, who should I give this money to? Cultural center or the community theater? All that's good. And we take some money like that, too. And over the last 10 years or so, we've gotten not great bequests, but, you know, very generous bequests from different families and person, so that's very appreciative also.
It's beautiful, and it's a great way, again, of like putting into a community and helping that, like, what can I do that will make an impact, not just now, but for the next 10 years, next 20 years, that kind of thing. That's really cool.
Yeah, and if people want to put it in, some people specify they want it used for, you know, interpretive center or for some purpose or for interpreters or for costuming, we can put it in a special fund and use it just for that purpose too. And for the garden, I know we had a $250 bequest 10 years ago that bought garden seeds in supplements for the garden. And there's still probably $150 left of that after 10 years, because how much do garden seeds cost for a smaller garden? So
that's pretty cool. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a good example of the kind of donations, kind of things that we're looking for and that could really help out a lot. Mm-hmm. And certainly volunteers. Always could use volunteers. There's not an event, not a day that goes by that couldn't use volunteers over there. And while you may be looking and thinking of ways to impact your community, how can I do that? I don't have a whole lot of money. This is a great way to do that. Doesn't really cost you anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just went to a sports banquet last night. Convention Visitors Bureau put on a sports banquet and the MVP and everything like that. And they had four candidates. And just to let them explain what they did and how they volunteered over the years for community, some of these people for 35, 40 years, how they gave back to the community was awe-inspiring, really. And that's what we look forward to for people, not to give us 35 or 40 years, but give us a day or two or some phone work or something like that. And a lot of times when they come out there, they find out how at ease, you know, we're probably the easiest group of people to get along with in the world, because we let your expectations be our expectations. We don't expect you to do a lot, or we expect you to do what you feel comfortable with. And so whatever that is. And a lot of people think, well, I don't know if I could be interpreters. Well, come out and just go around different buildings and see what appeals to you and what you'd like to do. And we'll help you with the rest if that's what you want to do. If not, we got, you know, just like community theater, you know, that play is out on the stage, but 90% of the work happens behind the behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. So
reach out to Historic Point Boss. You can find more by going to their website, historicpointboss.com. There is a support us tab. Encourage you to check that out. And also a good place to go to if you are interested in volunteering to contact them. Mike, as we're wrapping up, let's go over the details of this wonderful event one more time.
Yeah, this is December 2nd, Heritage Holidays, and it's a part of the greater hometown, Nakusa hometown Christmas, and we're open from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We encourage you to come down. It's $3 for adults, $2 for students. We got guided hikes. We got a bonfire. We got hot apple cider, molasses cookies, making ornaments for kids, a craft in the house. All the buildings will be open. The blacksmith will be there. The trader's cabin will be there with Tom and Joe and be interpreting what they did, and the bunkhouse. And so it's a good time for everybody, and they can get out and enjoy it, walk around, dress appropriate for the weather. If it's colder, of course, you know, wear plenty of clothes. When you get in the buildings that are heated, you'll probably end up taking off some because it gets pretty warm pretty quick, especially if we're dressed for outside. But everybody's welcome. And as you were saying before, James, we made all our buildings that weren't handicap accessible about 2 years ago, they're all handicap accessible. So there's no reason for somebody not to come out because of maybe of a handicap or something. So we encourage everybody.
I encourage everyone to check this out. It's going to be such a fun event. Looking forward to it. You can find out more again by going to historicpointboss.com. You can also give them a call at 715-459-1722. That's 459-1722. And again, be sure to bookmark the webpage historicpointboss.com and follow them on social media. always a great time talking with you, sir. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, James and WFHR.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. And want to send a shout out to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. We'll talk to you next week with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.